Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions.
If you want to really have a joyful Christian living life, build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
In this week's lesson, Dr. Williams serves up part two of Sold Out for Ministry, and he teaches that if you're sold out for ministry, no matter what you go through, you can still have joy.
After all the things I've been through, I still have joy. After all the sickness, I still have joy. After all of the death in my family, I still have joy. After all the trials, trouble, and tribulation, I still have joy.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 46th year, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes begin at 9, and at 10, our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bibles, let's open them together to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 17 down through 25. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Now, for just a minute, I want to share with you something that millions of people in this country who have proclaimed the name that they are following Jesus. And they talk about it. I'm a Christian. And they say, I am saved. Now, when you buy a car, until you sign contract or write a check, that's not your car. Amen. You're paying on a car. But when you sign the contract and pay for it, that's your car. From then on, it depends on how you take care of it. When a man or a woman, boy and girl, is saved, just listen carefully. I'm talking about saved. Have accepted Christ as their personal Savior and are studying to learn what God is all about. You cannot accept Christ and go home and sit down and say, I'm tired. Or I'm not going to do anything. If you do, you are lying to yourself. Christ doesn't save anybody to do nothing. You won't find that in the Bible. Number two, he doesn't save us to be busy gossiping. God, if you're going to gossip about what he's done for me, how I love him so. The reason a lot of people get tired of church, because they have no relationship with Jesus. When you have a relationship, it's the same way with marriage. The reason some people say, I've been married 20 years now, I'm not going to be married no more. There's nothing wrong with marriage. It's something wrong with you building a relationship. Amen. You know when you got married, you were different. If you marry somebody just like you, then you have lost your mind. Differences grow stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. I know you don't want to talk about this, but you have never met anybody that's just like you that you loved. You soon got tired of them. Amen. I'm glad you got it. So as we move today, Paul gives us friend, some data that God has given him. He's given it to us. If you want to really have a joyful Christian living life, build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, you will never have it. You will get by, but you won't have it. Let me give you a good analysis that I heard, and I heard on television this week. I was watching the scam that they're dealing with in Washington. And everybody had a different story. There is no such thing as everybody have a different story about one story. But when you're in trouble, lying is glorious. Amen. I said to somebody yesterday, I said, you look like someone I know. They said, who was it? I said, I don't remember the name. I'm just looking at your face. And he said he identified himself, and it was the person that I haven't seen in almost 30 years. Well, everybody changed in almost 30 years. Some of y'all changed. Well, anyway, we changed. We changed. And so the person said, I shall never forget. I've been forgotten. I never forget what you and your wife did to help me and my family. That's 27 years ago. I did my duty. When you are blessed, brother, stand up. I know you and you really been blessed. You are blessed, and you can't forget where you came from. Every now and then you have to send a few dollars back, right or wrong.
That's right.
You can't leave it all here in America, because God brought him from there here and blessed him here so he can send back there.
Thank you.
Amen. And so Paul says, when we build a relationship with Christ, we always think about our brother and our sister. You can't have a beautiful mansion and living in it and everything you want and everything that you need, and you know somebody else has nothing and you don't think about them. If you do, you are not building a relationship with Christ. There's no way. Amen. Amen. Christmas, this past Christmas, someone said, called me in the morning after I went home from church service, and said, we don't have nothing for our family. I got laid off 2 months ago, and I just didn't want to ask nobody. I understand that. So I said, well, you come over and I'll help you. When he came over, first of all, I said, in the freezer, I didn't have to do it, there's a turkey that I was going to cook, but my family's cooking. So come with me, you can have it. Then I went in my pocket, Brother Les Holmes, and I said, what else you all want to have for Christmas? And he gave me a list of stuff. And so I added up in my head, because I shop for myself, and I used to shop for my wife. And and so I knew the average cost. And so when he got ready to take the stuff, he broke down and cried. Now, it make no sense for me to have food in my house, turkey in the freezer, and a family of five hungry. That don't make no kind of sense. Amen. I had a good Christmas, blessed Christmas. And so what happened is, the reason I know that, because I build every day, build my relationship with Christ deeper and deeper and deeper. Amen. And as I add and move on, see, when you build a relationship, you're a businessman. He built a relationship in the community before he went in it. I went to his opening of his business, and people were telling me of other races, he's a good man. We like his attitude. I said, wonderful. I said, well, yeah, he's a very good man. Who are you? And I slowly told him. I says, then you can put the word out that you have a good new businessman in your community. Has nothing to do with his color. Has to do with his relationship. Did you all not know that God can set you down and then he raise you up? And nobody can stop him? Amen. I got hired on the job, and a lady called me a dirty so-and-so because I was her boss. And she said, you will never be my boss. And I was young, 23 years old, and I did something to create a problem for me. But I still was her boss. I was her boss for 5 years, and she couldn't do nothing about it. I was the first one got that job looked like me. But I didn't get it because of that. I got it because I was a good employee and I was saved. Went to Bible study and Sunday school and prayed at home. And God swung that door wide open. Amen. And he's still swinging the door open. What about your relationship with God? If you're not building it, you need to start now. Because the storm is on its way. And if you're not prepared for the storm, it's going to blow you away. Amen. Amen. Let us move, friends. Sometimes Paul says, I want to live. And sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. Which is far better? Paul says, when I take into account this side compared to the other side, Paul said, the other side wins every time. Here's how it wins. On this side, there's pain. On the other side, there's praise. On this side, there is trouble on every side. But on the other side, I'm trying. That's what Paul says. Paul says to us, this side, you cannot ever have 100% peace. But on the other side, it's peace all the time. Paul says, this is what he says. He says, on this side, I'm a victim. On the other side, I'm a victor. Amen. On this side, there is disease. That's what Paul says. And death. But on the other side is no more sickness and life eternal. Listen to Paul. The ministry that was given, Paul says, this ministry was given, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, which, my friend, the Lord Jesus has committed to me. Now, everybody that's preaching has not been called by God. You say, you're going too far. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not going too far. Biblically, if you're called by God, then why don't you show some sign? You don't run around trying to hurt nobody else. If God calls you and you are open, he'll equip you. Amen. Now I am 43 years old this year. And Brother Holmes, I can show you. I have already received more than a dozen invitations. More than a dozen. And they're still coming. I can't accept them. It's a conflict with this church. You missed it. I have never put anything before my assignment at St. Paul. And the reason I didn't do it, because if someone invites me, they'll forget that next week. But the one who calls me can't forget it. Amen. Minister called me, told me last night, out of this state, he said, one of your problems, Dr. Williams, you stay at home too much. He doesn't live in Sacramento. And I said to him what I said to you. I said, wonderful. At least I don't have no trouble here. It is peace and quiet. Amen. I'm not running all over this country to please anybody. Amen. But I work hard, I mean hard, to try to be in connected with my Jesus. Amen. Let me give you something that's personal. This morning I was awakened about 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock, I'm still awake. So then I know there's trouble somewhere. Somewhere there's a problem. So I turned over, and just like you spoke to me about the problem somewhere else. I got the answer this morning early. And I'm not sleepy. Because he gave me an opportunity to go back to sleep. I missed an hour and a half, but that other hour made up for the hour and a half I missed. Amen. See, you just can't beat it. Amen. When I was living in the South, every now and then people used to come to our house and say, Mama said she want to borrow a cup of sugar. You don't know about this. 2 cups of flour. And when Mama wasn't home, we was ordered to do this. When Mama wasn't home, I measured the cup. She didn't get none of it over, no extra, just a cup. And so the lady was, sometimes the women would say, I borrowed 2 cups of flour, but it just was 2 cups. And Mama was running around the house trying to find who gave it to her. Who gave it to her? I said, I did. She said she wanted 2 cups, not 2 pots. I listened what she said. So I said, Mama, tell me what you want me to do the next time when she wants 2 cups. Because the cup is a cup. She says, always put a little extra. I said, well, see, you never told me before, and I don't want to get myself in trouble. I stuck by the cup. Jesus said to me, if you want something in this life, you got to follow me. Don't wait till you get to heaven. I bless you on earth, but you got to follow me. That's what Jesus says. So Paul helps us today. He says, Paul regarded his ministry as an office entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus himself. On this account, Paul makes it clear to us. He deemed it to be, my friends, sacred and of high authority. That's why I like Paul. Now, let me tell you something about this Paul we talk about. Saul of Tarsus was sold out for the ministry. People don't say that. He was sold out to protect, my friends, the law. I mean, sold out, beating people, killing people, putting people in jail. And all of a sudden, the movement came along, and you remember the movement? What was the name of it? What? The Way. Now here's Paul protecting his assignment by those who was in authority, and it wasn't God, in his days before he met Jesus. But now here Jesus comes along with the real way. And Paul was saying, says, no, this is not the way. Here's the way. And everybody got out of this way and running with this way, their life was in danger. I'm trying to go somewhere with you. Their life was in danger. I beg you who are listening to me on television and watch me on television, listen to me on the radio, and you who are here. And so Paul said, this is one movement. I'm going to stop. So he had a crowd following him. Just because a crowd follow you, that didn't mean you're right. And so Saul then, he said, well, there's a big crowd in a place called what? When he's on his way to go where? There's a crowd down there has joined the way, which is to follow this man called Jesus. So we're going to bring my regain. We're coming down there to stop him. We're going to beat him, kill him, and put him in jail. I'm talking about God. And Jesus said, now I've had enough. You missed it. He's all horsed up, bucking and going on his way to Damascus. And I can hear Jesus saying, I have had enough. And so while he was bucking to get down to Damascus, Jesus slapped him off of that horse. And when he lapped him, hit the ground, he was blind. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what you do. He told Saul, he said, you go down Straight Street. And there's a man down there called what? Ananias. And you go knock on his door, and he said, oh, I can't do that. When he opened the door, he told Ananias to be ready. He said, he's evil. I cannot help him. Jesus said, no, he's mine. He's mine now, evangelist. I don't care how evil he was, he's now saved. And because of him being saved, he won't do you no harm. So what I want you to do, and he didn't want, and I understand him being reluctant. He put his hand on him and healed him. The scabs fell off his eyes. That's when you have the relationship with somebody you know the lie. Now, if a man come here today and put a shotgun in my mouth and say, if you deny Jesus, I'll let you live. I said, I can't. Now Jesus is in your hand. I'm depending on you. And the trigger won't go off. Are you sold out for ministry? In this church, if every member was sold out for ministry, it does not mean you're going to live a perfect life. It does not mean you might not sin. But it means you have an advocate who is able to help you overcome it. Sin is consequences. Nobody ever got away from sinning after they got saved. It's a consequence. And so you sold out for ministry. Paul was sold out before he got saved. Fought and, my friend, and killed. Then when he got saved, he was sold out and got worse. Because he met a live Jesus. I wish I could sell this Jesus to you this morning. You say, Pastor, I've been down that road. That's right, but you haven't been down it with Jesus. Once you get tuned in with Jesus, once he touched you, once he moved on you and move in you, you can't be the same. No, sir, no, sir. Hallelujah. He's real. Ain't he real? Then we got to act like it. He's real. I said, Pastor William, we're not going to be able to get in the Family Life Center to have our services. I said, then you follow me. You follow me, and I'll help you get in. We already mapped that out. I'm not taking over Jesus' place. Amen. 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 Friends, quit minimizing Jesus. my doctor told me, I told you, I don't think you'll be able to walk. We can't do what we would like to do for your knee. I don't know what he said, but I think I'm walking. And don't worry about a limp, because Jacob had a limp, and he limped until he died. It's not the limp, it's what you know and who you have. Amen. Let me get back. I won't keep you past your lunch. Listen careful. Church, Paul simply wanted to finish his course, I said. And the text says he wanted to finish his course with joy. He moved from an accounting term, church, to that on an athletic. That's what he did. Paul says, he knew that God had already planned his steps and he wanted to finish them. Let me give you an illustration. You remember Acts number 9? After Paul met, my friend, the Lord on the Damascus Road, he was stricken blind. And the Bible says that the Lord came in a vision to a man named, and you just called his name, and told him to go to Straight Street. Now, when Jesus tells you something, the mistake many of you are making now, you know it was the Holy Spirit spoke to you. You know that. You're going to call Susie and Mr. Joe and say, this is what the Spirit said. What do you think? That's not their business. What they think. Amen. When I got up off my knees in December in Chicago, and I had prayed and prayed and prayed because I was making preparation to leave. I wanted to leave in the spring of the year. I got up off my knees. Because while I was praying, I lost control. Start speaking in another tongue. Lost control. And in losing control, in front of me came just like a man and said, go. You have a job, a house, and here's the color of the house. And your job is in the evening. I got up on my knees crying, ran and told my lady wise, I said, we can go now. She said, what happened? I said, I just had a vision from heaven. And everything I need would be in California when I get there. So I had a month's vacation. I'm trying to help somebody. And the boss said to me, you never ask for all your vacations at one time. What's wrong? I said, I just want to go to California. I said, I've heard so much about it, I want to go and check it out. You see, you can't tell everything. If I hadn't found no job, I could have went back to my good job, and they would never know what I was looking for because it wasn't their business. I came to this town, opened up a bank account, checking account, put $200 in the bank account. I don't know what I put in the checking account. And I had a vacation check 1 month. Had some cash money. All my bills was paid in Chicago. My rent was paid up until Sue was going to leave. Found the job. Wrote a letter as resignation to my job. The boss called me and said, I'll give you X number of dollars if you come back. I said, oh, I certainly appreciate that. But I won't be back. I have a job. He said, what were you? It's no jobs where you're going. I said, but I have one. I have a job. Came here in May. In June, my family came. And the second week in July, I said, now we need to look for a house. My wife said, you gonna buy a house? I said, oh yes. We went looking for a house and looked everywhere. I went in the areas, I don't want to name them because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And when we came back, on our way back, a lady put a sign, I told you this 100 times. Sign up said, for sale. I jumps out, told the man, stop, and made a deal with her. And my wife said, look at this house. It's green and burgundy. That was the vision. I told you that is, you don't follow no visions. You know too much. Then I got her down, the lady down for the cost. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that God gives vision. And it's up to the person to carry them out. If God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to me this morning and tell me to give X number, I pay tithes and offerings. And tell me to give some extra, I give it. You know why? Because he's the one giving me the tithes. And I owe him what he's doing for me. Amen. I haven't stopped working since I've been here. I know some of you work like a slave. I'm a slave for Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of it. The reason I'm a slave for Jesus, long time ago, he looked beyond where I were and saved me, brought me up to the front. And now I can stand here. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody. Hallelujah to the King. There's nobody like him. It has nothing to do with your age. You quit telling people, well, I don't know now, I'm getting old. That's you. God never told you that. I know a lady 90 years old. When I went to Mississippi a few years ago, she was 90. And I went to see her. I said, which one of your children is home? Brand new Mercedes sitting in the yard. She said, that's my Mercedes. I said, she said, I went to Jackson and bought it. I said, you bought that car? And I didn't want to talk about her age. She said, yes. And the reason I bought it, I want to enjoy some of my money before I die. And she was so kind, she said, you want to go for a ride? I said, well, no, not today. But she was led to enjoy this life. Friend. Are you sold out for ministry? If you are, you have somebody behind you that will guide you and help you. Okay, friends? As for Saul of Tarshish, and to lay hands on him that he may receive his sight. Saul wasn't used to that. But when you meet Jesus, things change. Thank God today. Here is what, my friends, here is what we all ought to be hanging our hats on. That all of us have a course to run and a course to map out by God himself. Amen. And we have got to, my friend, learn not to fight it, but to finish it for his glory. Church, God has used Paul in a wonderful way, and Paul merely wanted to finish his course, his assignment, what God had given to him. And listen, he wanted to finish it with joy. Paul simply wanted to run his race well, to receive the victory crown that was laid up for him. There is just one person we need to run to please, and that person is Jesus Christ. You better recognize that you can't please everybody. Can't do it, and you shouldn't try. When I was a teenager, I tried to please my friends, and I found out they got me in trouble. Now I'm only trying to please Jesus. And I didn't start yesterday, long years ago. I looked at Jesus, and I looked at the Bible, and I said, if I accept you as my Savior, Jesus, I can accept this Bible as your word. Amen. Church, there's always, always going to be somebody who is a hater. You got haters you think love you. They don't love you, they hate you, because they're jealous of you. But you love them and move on. Some of the meanest people that I ever met in my life, I loved them. I remember a Caucasian man said to me, he says, if you do this, I do that. I said, I can't do that. What you want me to do, it's a violation of my spirituality. Then he called me a name. And I walked off and I looked back. I said, I'll be back. And when I went back, he wasn't there. You missed it. You don't have to fight your own battle. Just give it to him and worship him. Amen. Amen. I wish I could finish this sermon today, but I can't. But as we move to come in, friends, to give you the gist of the end, what I can do for you today. Hating causes you, my friends, to come up, and hate causes you to overcome. Amen. Hating causes strives to be better, do better, and live better. Always going to be somebody who tries to knock you down, put you down, and talk you down. Always. But you got to be determined to finish your course with joy. We sing, after all the things I've been through, I still have joy. Oh, my friends, I've been through some things, but I still have my joy. Let me pause and take a poll, my friend. Is that anybody's testimony today? Of all you've been through, you still have joy. Amen. After all the sickness, I still have joy. Church, listen careful. After all of the death in my family, I still have joy. After all the trials, trouble, and tribulation, I still have joy. After losing my job, my family, my wife, my mother, my son, my father and brothers, after losing all of them, I still have joy. Why? Because this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. Listen, if we are going to finish our course, my friends, and finish it, we then must be like an athlete. It's going to take proper discipline if you're going to finish. Any real athlete knows that if you are going to be the best, it's going to take some discipline. Amen. You can't be a good athlete and you don't discipline your life. Listen carefully. If you are going to be world-class athlete, you have to be disciplined in your training regimen. Listen, Paul put it like this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do you not know that in a race all runs, but only one gets the prize? running in such a way as to get the prize. I discipline my body and bring it, Paul says, into subjection. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 2, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience, the race that is set before us. That word, patience, is in the Greek harpomi, no, which comes from, my friend, the compound word, harpo, to remain, and meno means under. I might be under, but I'm gonna run. Thank you, Holy Ghost. To remain under, to endure, to preserve, run with endurance, with persistence, and have some stick-to-itness. Amen. Don't give up and don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Simply hang in there. We want to get like Paul, who at the end of his life was able to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And listen, beloved, it takes some discipline to hang in there. When it gets tough, and the best way you say, there is no way, but God always has a way. Amen. When we were in marching in the civil rights time in the 60s, I shall never forget, I had a sign by the door in Chicago at Sears Roebuck on Van Buren and State Street. And a man pushed me with my sign and spit in my face. And I had a sign and I had a determination. And I said, if he spit in my face, that means I got his attention. I didn't move. There's some stuff moving in me, but I overruled it by listening to the Holy Spirit. Right after he left me, he was arrested. God always has a way to take care of his children. That's why some people can hang in a marriage, I don't care what kind of marriage it is, they can hang there. Some people can hang in school and know that it's very difficult, but they can hang in there. Listen, whatever God asks you to do, recognize, beloved, it's not going to be easy, but God will always be with you. God has not promised us sunshine without rain, but he always promised us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. It's going to take some discipline, and it is going to take proper diet. Now see, my friend, how quiet it got when I talk about a diet. I'm not talking about a diet, Mr. Cornbread and Greens. Now let me throw this in for free. Our diet have a lot to do with our physical health. And as a people, we must be conscious of what we eat. The Bible says that we must present our bodies as a living sacrifice, my friend, holy and acceptable to God, which is the reasonable of our service. You see, it's not just about eating. My friends, life is more than eating. It is about abundant life down here and eternal life up there. We need to eat this word every day, that we might have a balanced diet before we leave this earth. But preacher, what you mean eat the word? Read it. Meditate on it. Talk to God about it. And watch God work through you. We are living with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, because we eat too much of the wrong thing. Amen. I love fried pork chops with onion, but I don't eat it. I haven't eaten a pork chop in almost 40 years because I found out it's bad for your blood pressure. Pork is not that good to bring my pressure up. But I eat some other stuff that is just as good. Nothing better than a baked turkey wing. Nothing better than a fried piece of chicken. Nothing is better than, my friend, nothing is better than to have baked chicken with dressing. You don't have to eat stuff that's not good for you. And then there's nothing better when you get up in the morning and read, the Lord has blessed me. And I want to thank him this morning. He watched over me all night. And early this morning, he woke me up. That's for your breakfast. Now for your lunch, thank you for what I'm about to eat. It's lunchtime. While the blood runs warm in my veins, I got to praise you for what I'm going to eat for lunch. You can miss a salad, but you can't miss thanking Jesus. That's the Bible. Church, if we want to live and last, we must eat right. Because diet is not, my friend, absent of food. It is the presence of the right food we need. I'm so happy today that I eat from the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I get out of my bed, I pray. After I wake up, I sit on the side of my bed and I pray. And I hear you say, it doesn't take all of that. No, it's right. It doesn't take all of that for you. But for me, I got to give him more and more. And the more I give him, the more he helps me to get more. Hey, amen. And church, listen, church, listen carefully. Listen, church, beloved, we need the word. We need a proper diet of the word. Because the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And we need a proper diet of the word of God. That, my friend, while the Bible study and Sunday school is so important for the believer, because we need the word. Why is it that the older we get, the lazier we get? Why? I'm tired. Let me give you what I know. If you want to, you get up in the morning, but at home, you don't feel good. Get up. Sit on the side of that bed and talk to him. Then run on till you get your hot, hot, hot shower. Then put your clothes on and thank him. How I got over. He just got over. He didn't feel well. But you're going to nudge you and it's going to get worse. Work on it. And watch God work with you. Now, grace is a strange thing to a lot of people. Grace. By his grace, we're saved. That's not of ourselves, but it's of God. Grace, whether you believe it or not, grace woke us up this morning. Grace helped us to move on this morning. If you are down, grace will pick you up. If you are lost, grace will save you. If you don't know Jesus, grace will entertain you till you get to know him. Grace, there's nobody and nothing like the grace of God. His grace is able to do whatever is necessary in our lives. When I was lost, it was the grace of God that stopped by and saved me. So every now and then I got to thank him for his grace. His grace is beyond my imagination. His grace will fill my loneliness. His grace will lead me on to a higher height. His grace will help me to love everybody. There's nobody like his grace. The grace of God is all power. You know anything about his grace? That's why I love that song, Your Grace and Mercy. What did it do? Why? Simply because. Now look what we're telling. I what? Take me in. Justice said, you got to go. But grace stepped up and said, no, no. I've already paid the price. He said, amazing grace. Not just grace, but amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's why I can praise him. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind to God, but now I see because of his amazing grace. All over this place. All over this place. People want to come. Don't let nothing stop you. All over this place. When you come, man, woman, boy, girl, if you step out and wear your cup. All over this place. When you come today, all over this place. Just come out of your seat. Come and accept him as your Savior. Or renew your fellowship with him. Will you come today?
Come, a sinner like me.
come. Will you come? Just come wherever you are. Because of you. Will you come today?
I want to thank.
Will you come today?
And pray.
Will you come today?
Your grace.
When you come,
it brought me just as demanded.
Yes,
that I should die.
When you come, why do he speak to you?
But grace and mercy said, oh.
Father, we thank you for the fruits you have provided for us, Heavenly Father. Allow us, Heavenly Father, to participate in your ministry. Give back to the kingdom building process, Heavenly Father. Bless those that have to give, Master, that you increase it for your kingdom building. In Jesus Christ's name, for his sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen.